Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you come?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 378 with audio this time for the start of the show. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Zlacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. Today is July 9th, 2016. We are barreling through the year over the halfway point, and we've got some exciting things to talk about today. Not just video games, life stuff. All kinds of craziness going on, and we will have a special spoiler section for Inside at the end of the podcast, so you won't miss any of the main show. But if you're so inclined, you want to listen to us talk about the newest game that's caught everybody's attention, definitely tune in. So without further ado, let's get some introductions on the show this week with the fantastic new introduction, Mark Wright, Markanix.
Hello, Greg. Hello, everyone. Yes, Markanix here on Xbox Live, PSN, and Twitter. I'm also on Steam, but I very rarely go on that, sadly enough. But yeah, I hope everyone's doing well. Missing Robin. Robin's in the US of A on holiday. We've seen all his photos. And
are we really missing him?
Yeah. I'd say so. You know, he's nice to me. So yeah.
He is a cuddly Irishman. yes, Robin actually is in the United States right now, and as far as I can tell, I think he is attempting to gain 100 pounds.
Yeah, I think he's eaten the whole of the south of the continent there.
Yes.
Some of the pictures he's sending, he's going to need a double seat to come back on the plane.
Oh, completely. Completely, yes. 100 pounds, or what is that, 10 stone about-ish? Yeah. Ish? 10 stone, yes.
Plus five,
yes, absolutely. All right, also on the show this week, Miss Kim Woods.
Howdy, everybody. How y'all doing?
Kim, you look marvelous. How are you doing today, my dear?
I'm good, you know. I got a little, swollen lip action going here. I didn't get in a bar fight. I got a little poison ivy going, so...
We were not going to say anything. We were going to just let that slide by. You know, people were going to wonder. They were going to be like, before and after pictures, I think she got Botox.
Right?
But
did
no,
she get work?
No. Yeah.
No, not me. No,
maybe that's the secret to all of these actresses. They just go out and they rub their lips on poison ivy.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's not what I did, but, you know, I'm sure it'll work. So, you know.
I'm not going to ask how you injured your lips, Kim. We're going to stay with that whole topic.
Well, it's not terrible, but all right. We can do that.
Indeed. I just got choked up for a second because my favorite person is on the podcast also joining us this week, Mr. Gary Lever.
Hi, y'all.
You're in trouble.
I love Nicole.
And just like that, Gary has gone from our favorite into the fire. Gary, why don't you plug a little bit on where we can find you? You're kind of all over the place yourself.
You can find me at my home in Pennsylvania.
I don't think you want to give out the address. What about, are you still doing the games in RPG?
Of course.
Okay. Well, see, this is what I'm trying to give you some plugs here, Gary. I'm trying to help you out.
I know. I'm being difficult, like always.
It's okay.
Games in RPG. That is our site, gamesin.com. We do it hopefully every week, but Dan's been elbow deep into pain. I guess that works.
With his elbows.
Literally,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, that's been fun. But, we try to do it weekly. We kind of missed a month because of Dan was feeling loopy on, like, super drugs. So we'll see what happens.
I saw some of his tweet pictures of his breakfast, which consisted of about 10 pills. So that was always exciting.
That's like the wife takes, like, 20 pills a day.
That's rough. That is rough.
Yeah.
All right, Gary, put hands up. Recite your Nintendo friends code. Come on.
Play Pokemon Go. I got a funny story about that today. That's going to be a good one.
We can look forward to that in just a few minutes. We're a video game podcast. We are the official podcast of the Gaming for the Elderly website and community. You can check us out on Twitter, of course. You can find us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, fb.g4te.com, if you want to go there. And you can follow us on Twitter at g4te.com is one of our official Twitter handles. And then, of course, we also have this, the regular podcast handle, which is the at OC underscore podcast. So that stuff out of the way, let's dive into what we have been doing this past week. Gary, by all means, you will take the lead on this. Let us talk about some Nintendo fun stories.
Well, before I get into that, of course, been playing Rocket League. Not very much because it's been mostly Minecraft. But yeah, I'll bitch about Minecraft in a little bit. Okay. So, Pokemon Go came out, and the servers are shit because they keep going down like all the time. But this morning, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go outside. I'm going to walk around. I'm going to get some Pokemon. So I go outside to get some Pokemon. Hold on. Don't give me that. So I went outside, I was walking around getting Pokemon, doing all this stuff. And then I was like, you know, what would be a good way to get Pokemon and I can be lazy? I was cutting the grass today while playing Pokemon Go. Don't drive and play Pokemon Go. It doesn't work too well.
Oh, shit.
I almost like tipped the tractor over. It was fun. I was sitting there. I was sitting on the tractor, you know, driving up and down the hill, whatever. And I'm just holding the phone out. And then I look over, I'm like, ooh, a Pokemon. And I was like, I've never seen that Pokemon. Okay, so you click on the screen to go catch the Pokemon. And I go and I press on the Pokemon, and it wasn't a Pokemon, it was a bug. And I smashed a bug on my phone because I thought it was a Pokemon.
I am really confused right now.
Yeah, I am as well. What the fuck is Pokemon Go?
Well, I see.
Wait, do you know what Pokemon Go is?
I have heard of Pokemon Go. I've heard of Pokemon Go. What I don't understand is the necessity to be outside to play Pokemon Go.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Is it augmented reality? Yes, it does have augmented reality. But it doesn't work right on my phone. It's really, really weird.
That's because you got bugs on it.
Right. Stop smashing bugs into your phone. It'd probably work better.
Yeah. I thought it was a new Pokemon. It wasn't. But yeah, like it has augmented reality. Like you can, you know, for me, it doesn't work right. But like, it's supposed to be the Pokemon's like in front of you. Okay. And then like, you know, it's like, say on my bar out there. So like I can catch it, it's on my bar, I flip up the Pokeball, it hits it, you know, catches it, and you have like a kind of, I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but like you have a chance to catch it or not, and you just keep throwing Pokeballs out at it. Okay, but so I use something.
Let me just I'm gonna walk this back a little bit again, trying to grasp the game here. So I'm assuming at this point, just based on the description you just gave, that you take your phone and you are kind of scanning it. It's like you're using the phone as like a camera looking around the environment, and then every once in a while you'll see a Pokemon appear.
I don't know if they're going to do something like that with it, but right now it's literally like it's kind of like it takes Google Map.
Okay.
And then it kind of like lays a Pokemon theme on it.
Okay.
Because like you can see like my road outside, or like the road by work, or you know, the road's going all around and stuff. And it also shows like buildings, kind of. Like it shows these like blue kind of patches what a building could be. They even show the barn up on the hill, which is weird. But basically it's kind of trying to promote people to walk around and catch Pokemon. And there've been some places, like I saw a guy, actually Shannon Reifenberg. Mm-hmm. He went to the zoo and there's like tons of Pokemon and everything at the zoo, which I thought was cool. But they also have, like you can go to certain places, you can find gyms. I can't remember what they're called, but apparently there are a lot of churches because we went by the church today. By the way, I had it up on my phone while I was driving around today, and I saw one of the Pokemon stops. I was like, oh my god! And then like the server disconnected, and I was so pissed. My wife and my mom were laughing their asses off at me. But I was trying to catch Pokemon, and because you go to these stops and you can get more Pokeballs. I don't know if that's the only other way other than buying them. But like you can go to these different places and stock up on Pokeballs, and you can go to gyms, and I think you like leave a Pokemon there to do the gym battle or whatever, and then it, I guess you can win and get something.
Do you have to come back to that place to get your Pokemon back?
I don't know. I don't know if it goes until it finishes or if you would have to go back there. But like this around me,
fantastic. By the way,
it's a lot of fun. I was in Lowe's and Walmart today, throwing Pokeballs and fucking Pokemon all over the place, and I think people are just like, "What the fuck is this guy doing?"
Right, right,
yeah, just a bit.
yep.
But yeah, like I was just kind of walking around, like Pokemon were just popping up on the thing, so you like click on, and then it takes you into like a battle, kind of like if you went. Like, well, I guess none of you probably play Pokemon, but you get attacked by a Pokemon, you go into the battle, and then, you know... Right.
I understand the concept of Pokemon.
Yeah,
I do.
But in this game, there is no Pokemon fighting. It's literally just you throw a Pokeball at it. Like, there is no, like, taking its health down and then getting it at low health. So I don't know exactly what you have to do.
Just kind of... It's a hunting game. You're hunting kind of, and gathering. Yeah. All right, okay. Yeah. All right,
it's fun.
Don't do it while driving, officially. Yes, especially tractors, maybe.
Yes, they can flip.
Actually, I would say even your car is probably a wise decision not to play Pokemon while driving.
I'll just make my wife play for me while I drive.
There you go. That's a better alternative.
Don't get the Pokemon. but other than that, like, it's just, you know, it's basically like if you're going out on a hike or something, you know, you kind of just keep it open. It drains the shit out of my battery completely. Like I just turned it on this morning when I woke up, and like my battery went down like 5% in like 10 minutes. So I was like, well, that's great. Wow. But yeah, Pokemon Go's fun.
What's the data usage like, by the way, on this game?
Whenever I stop talking, I'll look at how much I used in the last couple of days. The wife already used like 3/4 of our data this month because she got a new phone and she didn't do the data transfer over Wi-Fi. So she used almost all of our data in the first 2 days.
Ouch.
Yeah, we ran into that issue last month. It was the decision of streaming versus downloading and over Wi-Fi. And I was like, in the future... all downloads over Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. So Pokemon Go, exciting. Rocket League.
Download it. Just download Pokemon Go. It's free.
Just do it, man. No. Just do it.
Get a Pokemon.
Do it! Good. All right. Okay. Should we get to the rant of the day? Minecraft?
Okay. So...
you got to start the stuff right, Gary. Okay. Let me tell you. They fuck you in Minecraft. They fuck you in Minecraft.
We were playing Minecraft.
Yeah.
And wife and I both kind of teaming up doing this kind of whole area. And
you and the wife were double teaming Minecraft. Okay. Got it.
Exactly.
I'm going to turn this into something, you know. Spicing it up.
Yes.
Didn't want to hear that.
So I get on the other day and Nicole's like, oh, the server reset. And I went over because her son like made the skyscraper and he was all excited about it. So I came over, looked at it. It was cool. Went back over to our house and I go past these two gigantic buildings Courtney made. And they're completely gone. Except for like one little side of one, like it kind of just it completely cut off the whole middle. Like it left the front wall and the back wall, and like this wall over here, but it took 1.5 of the buildings and just completely ripped it out of the server.
Now, are you sure this is the server issue and not somebody coming in and just destroying buildings?
No, it's definitely a server issue.
Probably Nicole.
It's full blocks disappearing. But yeah,
literally, they take a chunk and they kind of it resets the whole chunk.
All right.
Like, and after that, I can't remember if it was the same day or the next day, but I got back on and went into the castle, and the same exact chunk that got taken out of the server or reset on the server before,
right?
Because the back half of my castle got completely deleted the first time when we started. The same exact chunk was gone again. So the whole back of my castle is gone again.
That's why I built my house in a separate place.
Right. I said, fuck you. And I was like, I'm going to take a couple days break, Nicole. So I haven't been on in a couple days.
Now, is this just poor Minecraft house building? Is that what's really happening here?
Yeah. I'm just blaming the server because I'm not good at it.
You're better than I am. I think I've built a wall before. And that's about it. All right. Okay. So do we know? Has this issue been addressed? Does Mojang? Have they spoken anything about it? Do we know?
I have no idea. I should actually look up.
There's plenty of tweets towards them about it. There's a lot of people angry.
There's a lot of. It's weird because it's a beta. But, like, Mojang's been doing Minecraft for, like, ever. So, and Pocket Edition's been out for a while. I don't know what's screwing up between Pocket Edition and doing an online thing, or the mix between going on the PC or mixing together the PC and the phones. And then who knows what's going to happen. Like, everything's just black hole, just sucks it all up whenever the Xbox One gets introduced.
Yeah, it totally will happen. Yep.
Yeah. So,
and talking of the Xbox One coming into play, I was under the impression at E3 that it was going to be sort of like quite imminent. It was going to be sometime shortly after E3. But no, yeah, Mojang have tweeted it's going to be 2017, possibly.
Oh, wow.
So it might even be later.
Whose fault is that, Mark? Theirs for clearly defining when it was going to be coming out, or yours for just assuming when it was going to be coming out?
A bit of both. Because they didn't clearly define.
I'm busting your chops.
Because all through the press conference, they're just Xbox One plastered everywhere. But right at the beginning, they just mentioned Windows 10 and Pocket Edition. Really,
right.
Really quietly, really quickly, and get that out of the way. So, yeah, it's a bit confusing. If you search on Twitter for Xbox Realms, there's tons and tons of people. Luckily, they're getting the first month free, but there's tons and tons of people setting up Realms and then saying, I can't access it on my Xbox One. So, but after the first month, you got to pay for it. So that's not good.
No, mm-mm. Not at all.
Indeed not.
Not when it's
this is why I've stayed away from the Minecrack.
Yeah.
Who knows? They may have been like wanting to bring it out, but once they open it up there, we're like, oh, shit. Like,
yeah.
Everything just kind of crashed.
Very likely. Yeah. All right.
But it has not been going very well.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I know you guys like your Minecraft. Hopefully it will get better.
It's okay because my rogue over here, he set up a server, so we've been playing on that server too. So I've been going between two different servers playing. It's sad.
You're horrible. Really I just don't get it. I don't know.
I'm with you. I don't get it either.
Never found an attraction to Minecraft. I mean, I guess I get it to a certain degree, but just the game itself never really pulled me in. Not at all like it has the other half of this podcast. Kim and I just will continue to do our thing, I guess.
That's it.
Speaking of continuing to do our thing, Kim,
yes.
You have continued on to do your thing. Your RPG, you are the queen of the RPGs, for the record.
I guess. I seem to have found a niche, I guess.
The queen of BioWare, where Jason is the king.
There you go. Yeah, I dabbled in Witcher 3, well,
Yeah, this week a little bit.
What?
And of course, I played some more Dragon Age Inquisition. I have got past the part on the Descent DLC that was hanging me up for a while. I am I'm ashamed to admit it. I played the whole game on normal, and to get past the part that was hanging me up, I had to lower it down to casual. So, and it was still freaking hard. So yeah, you know, if I have to turn in my RPG card and all that, I guess
you don't.
You know,
I am curious though, because to me, mm-hmm. you know, when I played Dragon Age Inquisition and then I played The Witcher 3, I felt that there was a decided difference in quality. Witcher 3 to me really shined compared to Dragon Age Inquisition.
I agree with that. Yeah.
So
CD Projekt Red did crazy good.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if you, when you go back to Dragon Age Inquisition, is there a bit of a letdown?
No, not really. No? I mean, because I like the story. I mean, yeah, because like I said before, Scott,
you know, BioWare's right behind story, her, stabbing her.
Right.
Yeah, right. They're poking me. Yeah.
They're like, what? No. I told
you
to
say. Say you like it. Say you like it.
Or we're going to kill Blackwall off. You know? No! So, no, I mean, there's not really a letdown. And this, I don't know, this will probably come as a shock, but I kind of find it hard after playing Dragon Age to get into Witcher 3. So I kind of have to play Witcher 3 before if I want to jump into Dragon Age, because otherwise I get to The Witcher 3 and it's like, you know, I don't know why it is. I just.
Is it because you like the party system?
Yeah, that's a lot of it, I think, because you get used to having all those people around and they talk and, you know, bring up little conversations. And then when you're with Geralt, there's not any of that. So you're kind of off on your own.
He talks to himself. And like Barry said.
He's the horse, you know. He talks to himself and he talks to the horse, you know, and all that. But yeah, it's a little bit, you miss the group of people that are with you that are chattering inanely in the background about, you know, elves and whatever. And
One thing Jason talks about a lot is how good the dialogue is between, and the interaction between the characters to each other, like, you know, fucking jabs at each other and like complimenting, and like just the dialogue between the characters is so good in those games.
Oh, it can be freaking hilarious. Not to say that I don't like Witcher 3, that's not what I'm saying at all. It's just, you know, it jumping from one to the other, it can be kind of difficult at times. So, but for me, it's more jumping from Dragon Age to The Witcher 3 that is difficult than, you know, the other way around. So, if that makes any sense. Okay. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I've been doing this week.
All right. Fair enough. Mark, before we dive into to what you have been playing, how about we dive into a little bit of the Twitch stream and maybe see if there's anybody in there that we should be giving a quick shout out?
It's pretty quiet in there at the moment.
It really is.
Fantastic.
You should have told anyone I was going to be on.
You drove them away.
We've got, Nicole, and apart from the other people on this podcast, I think that's about it. Jason Johnson was in there, but my computer's playing up, so I've not got the previous chat.
Yeah.
Him so and, really what you should have said, Mark, is due to technical difficulties, I cannot tell you how many people listen to us right now. But from last time I saw, it was thousands. All right. Well, hi, Nicole. Thank you for listening, even on your day off. You know, this is like vacation
you like
time. it's her vacation time, and she's hanging out with us, which is admirable.
Awesome.
By playing Minecraft.
Probably. Probably ruining your house right now, Gary.
I'm going to go back. It's going to be completely gone.
All right, Mark.
Yes.
Let's talk about video games. Let's talk about games that you have been playing.
Well, I've been playing one of the Games with Gold games this past week or so. I've been playing The Crew.
Okay.
And with the Xbox Live sale, what's on as well at the moment, I've actually bought the DLC as well, the Wild Run DLC. So it's half price, so I got that for £10.
Got it too, you asshole.
It adds quite a lot to it as well. We got motorbikes, monster trucks, and a lot of other new missions and stuff. So I'm getting quite into it now. It was a bit overwhelming at first, just the scale of it all. But I teamed up with Robin. We did some co-op missions, and it's great fun together in co-op. It probably makes the game more than anything. A bit like a lot of other MMO type games. Some of the missions are a bit weird. The story is a bit convoluted. It's
okay.
Not brilliant. It's your usual run-of-the-mill thing. It's very Watch Dogs type-ish, where a member of your family's been killed and you're working through the ranks of this underworld driving network and trying to work your way up. So, but yeah, the gameplay's quite fun. It's not as good as Forza Horizons, the driving on it. But it's not too bad. It's just the cornering's not as good, and my dog's barking now.
It happens.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Barking, but, snoring.
Yeah.
You know, that your house is a plethora of noises, Mark.
Yeah. Makes a change of snoring. graphically, it looks quite good. To say it's so huge with the MMO size of it. So, yeah, quite impressed with it at the moment. I'm not that far into it. I'm only level 15 at the moment. And I think it's got a level cap of 50 by the look of it. But every time you do, like, there's loads of little side missions on the roads where you just drive through these, like, little gates and it'll set off a mini mission, like smash for targets or do a slalom or do a jump. So every time you do one of them, you get graded gold, silver, or bronze, and then you'll get a reward. You get a part for your car, which upgrades your car a bit more, increases the rating of it. So, yeah, it's quite good. I'm enjoying it.
Okay. And the price is perfect.
The price is spot on, yeah.
Yep.
Free. Can't beat free.
Well, free because you paid for your subscription.
Yeah.
Can't forget to mention that.
Yeah. And I've also completed Inside this week.
Yes.
We're going to discuss that in detail later on. So.
Yes. I also completed Inside. Gary also completed Inside, I believe.
I crushed otherwise, that game.
Otherwise, we would not have him on this podcast. Yeah. That was the only reason why we wanted him on.
I've actually played it twice. I've played it again today to get all the collectibles. So, yeah, I've played through it twice now.
Okay.
Did you walk through it?
Your little boy walks. Did you, yeah. Carry on.
Busted.
All right. Let's see. So for me, obviously Inside, doing my continued playthrough on XCOM on Impossible. I think I have cracked the code on how to beat it on Impossible. So
not play it.
No, not at all. No, the enemies in XCOM, especially once you get into the higher difficulties, become very aggressive. So the need for you to go out and find them is much less. And so once you make contact with kind of that first wave of enemies, if you just kind of retreat back a little bit, you can set up into overwatch positions, and they literally, and this is probably just because of the way they set up the original game, the enemies will eventually find you. And so it's made life a lot easier. I'm not having nearly the death toll that I had on the previous attempt at playing on the impossible difficulty. So that's been going well. Halo 5, played a bunch of Halo 5 with the TruSkill Games podcast team just yesterday. It was a blast. I forget how good Halo 5 is, and we had a blast. We're getting ready for our second wave of the competition next week, where we will be playing Halo 5 for real in terms of the competition. It will count, but this week was all just for fun, and that was very enjoyable. We played some of the standard Slayer.
Yeah, and Breakout mode.
And Breakout, yeah. Breakout, I like Breakout a lot. I really enjoy it, and I think they found a nice little formula for that game.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it. That's what I've been playing. All right. We will, again, have a section at the end of the podcast devoted to Inside. We're going to be talking about that. Kim, I think you're going to jump off, or are you going to stay on?
Yes, I will go outside and don't let you all outside. Talk about Inside.
You're welcome to stay on if you want. We just don't want to spoil it for anybody, so we're saving.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking. Because now you guys want me to play, you've got me to thinking maybe I want to try this, so I'd rather not have it spoiled. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'll leave you fellas to here.
It's really good. It's definitely... I like it a lot better than Limbo. Like, just the kind of, it has an emotion to it that, like, that they couldn't portray in Limbo exactly. And like, there's like just so much more than Limbo had. And like, I still love Limbo, but this just is like really goddamn good.
Yeah.
I'm so happy I picked it up and played it. I was like, $20. Eh, finalist in the mark for once.
So
that's how you do it.
Let's just put it this way. If you enjoyed Limbo, you most certainly will enjoy Inside.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And if you've never experienced either of these games, then I would say, or I should say, if you never experienced Limbo, then if
what is wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? If you enjoy sides
on my bucket list,
you know, platform puzzle games, then again, I would say you will likely enjoy Inside. So,
just a quick question for Gary then. What are you playing Inside on? Are you playing it on PC?
Of course.
All right, okay. I didn't even know it was on PC, that's all. So.
No, it's not on
PS4, is it?
It launched this past week on PC.
Right, okay.
Oh, so it came out first on what, Xbox?
Yeah. But like only a few days. I mean, I think that was not necessarily a big deal. It was more just, I think, a timing situation on getting it onto Steam.
Right.
Yeah, it was like a week later.
Yeah, because it is on Steam, and then, of course, the Xbox One store. And then I don't believe there's plans for it to come out on PS4
anytime. No, I've not heard of anything there.
Which, I mean, let's face it, probably a year from now it'll come out. Who knows? All right. Let's jump into some news topics. Some good stuff happened this past week. Well, I shouldn't say good stuff necessarily. So Sony, we found out that, Adam Boyce is leaving Sony, which, on the surface, I mean, Sony has a number of VPs, you know, and so, you know, losing one VP is not necessarily a big deal. He is leaving on good terms, mind you. He's decided to go back to game development, which I think is awesome. But he was in charge of their third-party relations. And I also really kind of think he is a large part of some of their success.
Yeah.
I think Adam Boyce really helped put Sony back into a favorable, developer-friendly, fun, younger kind of vibe to Sony.
Yeah, he's got that rapport with the game. It's a bit like Phil Spencer, hasn't he? I was quite shocked when I read that because I didn't even know this.
Yeah, maybe even more so.
Yeah.
He you know, he goes on Giant Bomb and does their late night podcast at E3 and you know, not afraid to, you know, just let loose and you know, he is a very energetic person. I wonder, you know, just internally, because he is so not a standard suit type person. I do wonder if maybe internally within Sony that didn't necessarily always sit well. But I think this is a big loss for Sony. I look at the other VPs they have and the other people that they have right now in charge, and I don't see, outside of Shuhei Yoshida, I don't see somebody that has his charisma.
No.
So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Gary, any thoughts? Kim, any thoughts? I mean, I don't know if either one of you are familiar with Adam Boyce or not.
Not really, no.
I've seen him around. I don't know exactly all the stuff he's done, but I know seeing him on stage, he was always that kind of like happy-go-lucky guy.
Yeah,
he always had like was it last year's E3 that he was out there, when they were doing all the indie stuff.
And, and he was also Shuhei did the videos where he says, "Oh, here's our game share," and passed him a disc. And
right.
I wondered why I didn't see Adam Boyce at this year's E3. I thought that was strange.
It was, yes. And now, you know, maybe we understand why.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't really understand his role, think of it this way. He is in charge of all third-party relationships. So probably the biggest third-party relationship that he likely was spearheading is Call of Duty.
Yeah.
You know, the get that they got. So if you think about it, in terms of all of the deals he's had where Sony has been the lead in third-party software this year, or the past 3 years with PlayStation 4, he's really behind that. Right. So,
he's done quite well, because if you look at some of the sort of like franchises he's pulled over to primary development on PlayStation. Even GTA 5 went lead on PS3, didn't it? Yeah. Everything was shown on PS3 on the adverts and everything. It's pulling Call of Duty. The Assassin's Creed franchise has been sort of like showcased on PlayStation. So yeah, it's going to be a big loss for Sony, I reckon.
Yeah, well, I am excited to see where he winds up. He hasn't announced the actual studio that he's gone to yet, so we'll find out, I guess, eventually.
Speaking of third party stuff, everyone said No Man's Sky went gold.
Oh yeah, did you see
No Man's Sky
tweeted?
Did, yes.
And that, and that big burly beard of the happiest man on earth. He seems so happy to be done. He's like, yes.
Well, I mean, that's let's face it. That's one tweet he's going to be sending out that he won't be getting death threats on.
Exactly.
Right.
All right. So other news from this past week, Microsoft quietly edited their Xbox Play Anywhere promise. At E3, they had basically come out and said that basically every new title published from Microsoft Studios would support Xbox Play Anywhere. They now have slightly modified that to it now reflects the phrase every game published from Microsoft Studio that we showed on stage at E3 this year will support Play Anywhere.
That's bad. That is bad.
I don't think it is. I think what this is a reality is that they realize they probably had some third-party deals in place that they're being the publisher on, that they have already entered into agreements that allow this game to come out on Steam. Right. And that, I think, is probably the reality of it. So they realized the statement that they put out there was completely, going to be inaccurate because some of these games were not going to be Play Anywhere titles.
What we should have just said was that any first-party titles, if a third party and they're publishing it, mind you, it's still mixed messaging, isn't it? Yeah, I'm just worried that they're going to get slated for backpedaling and miscommunication. I've not seen anything on this. Like, tonight's the first time I've seen this, so I can imagine the backlash we're going to get from gamers.
Yeah, no, they definitely got a bit of backlash from this earlier in the week. I suppose the backlash will really happen if we see any of their first-party titles suddenly not be Play Anywhere that they had previously announced were. But I don't foresee that happening. So I do think this is probably a situation of third-party deals.
So, but
cart before the horse.
Couldn't they just come out and say, "Oh, well, we have to make an exception for these third party publishers what we're bringing to market because of they were in development before we announced Play Anywhere," rather than saying
anything that they say King is going to get turned
on.
You can't win with the internet.
Yeah, I think this was a simple fix. Maybe not the most eloquent fix. Maybe not the best way to have done it. They felt the need to make that change, and of course the internet caught it, as the internet does, and so it sparked up. Who knows if this really becomes a big deal? I think it was a big deal for the days that followed it, and
especially when they made such a big deal of it, they kept mentioning it over and over at E3, and how they're trying to sort of like get away from console and PC and just have the Xbox as a brand.
Right.
Yes. They're not making it easy for themselves, are they?
They seem to not want to make the things easy on themselves. Yeah. That is for sure.
As long as it wasn't a hashtag deal with it at the end of that sentence, I think they might be safe.
Yeah. Evolve, now free to play on PC. That's a thing that happened this past week. So Evolve is a game that It went through its own troubles, let's face it. It came out, everybody was talking about this game as being the next big thing. And it
was all about it at first.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think all of us were pretty excited for it. And then we played the beta, and I think people realized that this online, always online, multiplayer only, wasn't necessarily the best recipe for every game. And the notion of 4 versus 1 sounded really cool at first, but if that's all you had, in terms of what you were offering, it it faltered. Now, let's just face it. The game came out. It did not live up to expectation. They have spent the better part of 2 years now trying to really keep this game afloat and in, you know, in the public eye.
And the backlash that they got from all the DLC and all that stuff.
Oh, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was not pretty for these guys. So now they've decided to take this game, make it free to play. It will be coming free to play the consoles as well. They're basically rolling out the PC version first, and it'll be quote unquote in beta. And then after they're done making tweaks, they will roll it out to the console side as well. They are making some gameplay tweaks. They're adding in some new perks, and also they said they're going to be rolling out new hunters on a fairly regular basis to induce more variety of play. They also said, you know, we don't want to forget anyone in our community this way. So once the beta is finished, the console version of the game will also go free to play. And I think they said, let me get this correctly. So players that have already paid for the game will be granted founder status, and all of their unlocks will carry over. They'll also get some in-game currency, and additional bonuses will be handed out over the coming months. That's going to be a tough one because, I mean, obviously, if you bought this game before, I don't know how great that sounds to you. I guess it really depends upon what founder status truly gives you.
You're most likely done playing it by now, too.
Yeah, there's also probably that.
Yeah, I saw a tweet this week saying that PC gamers, the number of PC gamers playing this game has increased by 6,000% this week.
Yep.
So
was it one PC gamer?
Yeah, we must have had about 3 or 4 PC gamers playing it before, and then everyone's tried it just to see what it's like now.
Oh, I'm sure like everyone just downloaded because it's free to play.
Yeah.
Most likely. Speaking of something else that went up by a decent amount of percent, Red Dead Redemption went up 6,000% in sales or something like that.
I think they said it was up 14,000% on Amazon.
14,000.
Yeah, which pretty much tells you like 14,000 bought a copy of Red Dead.
Yeah. Nobody was buying it for years, and then it just kind of goes up real quick.
Yeah. That was a pretty brilliant move, though, on Microsoft's part, in terms of if you think about the timing of the release of Red Dead Redemption. This total tangent comment. I wasn't going to bring this up here, but we might as well talk about it. So they released this out in July during a time frame when there's not a whole bunch of games coming out. This is one of the games that I think everybody across the board loves, and so
I still need to play it.
Well, you know,
I heard a gigantic sigh from Kim on that.
Yeah, it's a community favorite. That's for sure.
I actually had a quick go on it last night just to try it, because obviously I got it digitally on my 360, so I was able to download it, and it's still a great game, but it is showing its age a bit. I'll be honest.
Okay.
There's some of the weight controls on that.
Did they say that the DLC was going to be free on it?
Yes.
Yeah. Some of the DLC is free. Not the Undead. The DLC. Yeah. The Undead Nightmares.
Oh, not the Undead.
But like the Mavericks. The Mavericks pack and everything, they're all free now. Which I didn't actually buy at the time, so that's good for me. I couldn't believe this game's 6 years old, 6.5 years old.
Right.
So.
Yeah. It does run better. That's the good news. It's smoother, apparently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It now holds a straight up 30 frames per second, whereas before on the 360, it dipped into the 20s pretty consistently. So you'll have a smoother experience.
It's always good.
Smooth is good. Yes. I shaved this morning too. All right. Microsoft is going to be offering a Xbox One trade-up program for Project Scorpio. So this was, slow news week, outside of some of those big topics. So I saw this and I thought, well, this is worth mentioning because I know we'd heard people rumbling about Project Neo and maybe Sony would.
Sorry.
I'm pretty sure somebody just got sawed in half.
No, Dad's cutting tin, so, you know.
Fantastic. Tell your dad we love his timing. So
Texas Chainsaw Massacre over there.
I'm happy to say, though, I immediately recognize that as being a saw. So the trade-up program, you know, Sony and Project Neo, people were speculating maybe they would offer a trade-up program. Nothing's been said yet, but I would imagine Sony's going to do something like this. And basically, this is, you know, this is nothing more than Microsoft working with retail partners and basically making sure that retail partners are doing some kind of trade-in programs that will help people to upgrade if they want to upgrade. You know, they basically said, and this is Xbox Services Manager Dave McCarthy was talking to the Daily Star. He said, we want to make the transition as smooth as possible. Some of our retail partners today do trade-in programs, and that's definitely going to be partnerships we continue to move. We continue to move going forward. We'll try partnerships with our other retail partners to smooth it out even more with trade-in programs and things like that. So, I think that this is a smart move on their part, making sure that they have those retail partners in place and trade-in programs like this, because this is such a unique thing to happen for these consoles in terms of this mid-cycle potential upgrade.
As long as they make so it's not just North America, because like at E3 they showed the different way you can design your own controllers.
Right.
That's US only. Can't get it over here yet.
So, there's a reason for that. That's a reason for that. We know the craziness that you were going to try and do, so it's going to happen. That's an interesting point. Hopefully they will be working worldwide, not just within the U.S. We're at that point, guys. This is the exciting time of the podcast.
Yay.
Trivia. Yes.
Jason told me the answers are F and J. So.
Fantastic. You stick with those options, F and J. Do you want to go F and J or J and F? I'll let you switch them.
Well, good, J and F. I think he...
What I didn't tell him was the F and J... F and G stands for fuck you, Gary.
Right. I thought he was going to say F and U, but he didn't.
Yeah. All right, so how this works, we have a couple different trivia questions from our podcast trivia master, Jason Johnson, and we go through these trivia questions. They're multiple choice. Audience can play along at home as you're listening to this. So you have multiple choice options to play, basically in the notes for the podcast, I will have you guys type in your answer, and this way there is nobody goes first. Everybody puts their answer in together. There's no cheating. There's no, I'm copying so-and-so. It's all on the up and up as far as we know. There's no also phoning a friend, Gary. There's no turning around to the wife.
No Google. Yeah.
Yes. All right, here we go. First question. What is the name of the first area in Dark Souls 3?
Oh, bollocks, I've not played that one.
What is the name of the first area in Dark Souls 3? Is it A, Undead Asylum, B, The Nexus, C, Things Betwixt, or D, Cemetery of Ash? Does everybody have an answer in mind?
Yes.
Go ahead and type it in.
I want to give a capital one, Matt.
All right. Unanimous capital answer across the board. Everybody said
the big D.
The big D, Cemetery of Ash. And I have to say, everybody's right.
Yay!
Yes. Yay! I knew two of them from Dark Souls 1. So
A and B are ruled out completely because I recognize them from the first game. But C and D, yeah, it could have been either one of them.
All right. Well done to the three of you. And here we go with question number two.
Catching up the Robin.
It's not going to be difficult for the record. all right. What year was the last Guardian first announced?
Oh, shit. Oh, boy.
What year was the last Guardian first announced? Is it A, 2007? B, 2009, C, 2006, or D, 2008? What year was the last Guardian first announced? Does everybody have an answer?
Just run through them right quick again, please, Kirk.
Real quickly, I will say they are A, 2007, B, 2009, C, 2006, or D, 2008.
Right, okay.
Now, if you do your math, you know this game has been in development for 20 years. So, I'm not helping you guys at
all. No, you're not. No.
No.
All right. Do we all have our answers ready?
Yeah.
Please type them in now.
Whew.
All right. Somebody is different than the others. So we have one person.
PG tips in the chat's put 1978.
So Gary says,
that was a good year.
Yeah. Gary says C, 2006. And both Mark and Kim said D, 2008. And I am happy to report that nobody got this right.
Oh, it's 2007.
It is A, 2007. Yeah. Indeed, yeah. 2007.
I was bordering on 2007 and 2008. Ballocks.
Yeah.
Well,
I was thinking 2006 because I swear I read something about 10 years in development.
Well, no, because the PlayStation it didn't come out till 2006, did it?
Oh, God, that's right. Yeah.
So it's I wasn't sure if it was a year after or 2 years after the PS3 launch.
Right.
That's what I was working on. I was working on the year the PS3 came out.
That was pretty smart thinking, Mark.
Mm. Yeah, it was. I got it bloody wrong.
Until you got the wrong answer, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the good news, you all got a point.
Yay.
The bad news.
It's like a gold star.
The bad news for the second week, Robin still leads.
How's he lead?
Although well, Mark, actually, I think you're tied with him.
Yeah, tied now. Because he got 2 points last week, so I've got two now.
Well, he has share of the lead, which is that in and of itself is amazing. all right. Let us continue on. We had an email. We were told we had to read this out. Mark, do you want me to read this out? Do you want to read this out?
Where is it? Is it on the show notes?
It is not. So let me read
it. You'll have to read it out there. Because I'm not telepathic yet, Greg. Sorry. Yes.
Sorry, my bad. Yes.
Playing too much XCOM.
Jason Gallagher, also known as Viva La Pedros?
Nope.
What's his gamer tag?
I was like,
Getting Tacos. Sorry. Viva La Pedros is true skills. We played Halo last night with him, Greg. Come on.
Back off. I get gamer tags and real names constantly mixed up. Now Jason, he'll throw some curses at me. Anyway.
Yeah, well, come on, Teflon. Pull you like that. That is your game tag, isn't it, Greg?
Yeah.
Gamers, here we go. Teflon. Gamer Girl. Is that you? Sorry.
We're not talking anymore, Mark. All right. Jason had this to say. Hey, everybody. Love the show. I've never bothered you guys before because, frankly, Greg scares me. And now
he's a tyrant. He scares everyone.
Greg also pisses me off. So there you go. That said, I am starved for help right now. Something fishy is going on over at the Boss Wave podcast. I agree. He said, I can't get into details right now, but all I'm asking that is if any of you have any information regarding their camping trips, please fill me in so I can handle this matter without any more hearts breaking. Boss Wave hired the very tiny Nats and his lover, Elusive Man, to cover while the other hosts deal with their issues. Problem is, shows are still being postponed. Hope you guys never resort to this. Keep it professional, Greg. I try, except for gamer tags and names. well, I'm off. Going over to Pilch's house for a haircut. Ooh, that doesn't sound good.
At all.
No. If I could ever get him out of the Mini Cooper, he is giving me a verbal rob, as Chris MJ says. It's the best haircut ever. After that, I'm doing some detective work for Kay. It seems she has spotted Stu Fowler and Chinny roller skating hand in hand. Never fear, Magnum P.I. is on the case. He spelled Magnum P.I., by the way, Magnum P. as in P-E-E-I. thanks for all you do. I will never bother you again, please, because you frighten me. No, Jason, do not stay away, even though I screwed your gamer tag. I'm sorry. unless someone posts a picture of a cat, then tries to claim it is an actual dog. We might have to do that. Post a picture of a cat, claim it's a dog. P.S. Tell Bongo to suck it. His elderly scalp will be bald before summer is up. Well, the good news is, you know, not only will Bongo be bald, but likely 500 pounds by the time he comes back. of course, Jason. Thank you, Jason, for the email. And I don't think we have any good insight for you as to what is going on with the Boss Wave podcast.
I think it's just something simple that Chris likes to go camping with his mates and drink beer. He just likes to go and rough it, whereas some other people like to go into hotels.
Oh, he likes to rough it.
Yeah.
Chris likes the deliverance experience. Yeah. That's what it really boils down to.
Yeah. I'd just like to thank Jason, though, for the first email I've ever heard him send with no mention of poop. So thank you for that.
That's true. Yes, and I feel bad that I scare him.
Well, you are a tyrant. So.
I know. I'm trying to get past this image, though. I'm trying to get past it. Well, thank you again, Jason, for the email. And, of course, anybody else who wants to email the podcast, by all means, do podcast@g4te.com. That should get you to us. All right. Let's talk about what is going on this week in the way of new releases. Kim, this is where I'm going to make you use those fantastically lips and talk.
Alrighty. Our new releases for July 9th through the 15th are Replica for the PC on a July 11th. Ooh, see, it's happening already. Seventh Dragon 3 Code VFD. Boy, that's a mouthful. For the 3DS on July 12th.
Some Japanese shit in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And our cute Xbox One PC July 12th. Boy, that took me a while to read. Let me scroll down. And we have Ghostbusters for the Xbox One, PS4, PC, also on the 12th.
Can I just say,
I did not know there's a new one.
Yeah, I didn't know there was a new game, but I've seen some more trailers for the movie, and it looks absolutely terrible. I hope I'm proved wrong.
I'm only watching it for Chris Hemsworth. That's it.
Yeah, I hope I'm proved wrong, but it looks absolutely awful.
And then he magically gets turned into Thor in the movie, and Kim's like, oh, God, yes.
See, gorgeous
stories.
Don't be a hater, Mark. Don't be a hater.
I know.
No, don't. Girl power, man. You're total anti-feminine.
It's not about the replace the guys with women. That's not the thing.
Oh,
it's just. No, they're using the same story, the same enemies, and it. The jokes just don't seem to work, do they? But anyway,
it's a reboot, but it's not a reboot. That's what the worst part about it.
I'll give them benefit of doubt. I'll watch it eventually. Carry on, Kim.
Yes.
It's okay. Killstrain for the PS4, July 12th. That's for PS Plus members. Militant for the PS4, PC, also on July 12th. Mobile Suit Gundam Extreme VS Force for the Vita on the 12th. Moon Hunters for the PS4 on the 12th. Poly Bridge for the PC on the 12th. Song of the Deep for Xbox One, PS4, PC, also on the 12th.
It's the new Insomniac game, is it not?
It is.
All right.
Super Mutant Alien Assault, Xbox One, PS4, PC, also on the 12th.
Yes! I don't know.
Someone's excited. Tumblestone for the PS4, the Wii U, and the PC on July 12th. Typewriter, PS4, Vita, also on the 12th. Video Ball, Xbox One, PS4, PC, 12th. Crush Your Enemies, won't we all? PC, Mac, Linux, iOS, and Android for the 13th. Infinium Strike for the PC on the 14th. Monster Hunter Generation for the 3DS on the 15th.
Yay!
Obliteracers for the Xbox One, the PS4 on the 15th. And that is your new releases for the 9th through the 15th.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, we are going to be killing some monsters this month. Can't wait.
Yeah, because you're going to be playing Ghostbusters, dude.
So I looked at, because you had a little link in there for it, I looked at it, and like the really terrible Ghostbusters game was the one where it was like a twin stick shooter, and this looks like the same thing, so I'm worried about it. So
I was worried about it the moment I saw the name. because it's a movie tie-in game, which, you know, that is already a check mark against it. All right. Let's see. Games with gold. Next week, or next Saturday, actually, when I will not be here, Tumblestone comes out on Xbox One.
Ooh.
And you can get Tron Evolution in terms of backwards compatible games, because that was a fantastic game that nobody actually agrees with. So yeah, there's that. All right, where are we at? What are we doing? We're talking about things going on in the community. Victories achieved, Mark. That's what we're talking about, Mark.
Yeah.
Help me out. Help me talk, Mark. Victories achieved.
Victories Achieved is a quarterly competition we run.
Is it really a quality competition?
I said quarterly.
Oh. I thought you said I heard quality. I was like quarterly.
There's quality there too.
It's my accent, sorry. Yeah, it's a quarterly quality competition we run. All you have to do is when you complete a game, you take a selfie with the credits of the game you've just finished in the background. And hopefully the selfie is of your face and other body parts. Thank you very much. And then tweet that to @G4TDOTCOM@G4T.com. And what we'll do then is we will retweet you back. So you know that you're entered. Also add #VictoryAchieved if you could please. It just helps us.
Right, right. And also supply us your bank account, your social security.
Mother's maiden name.
Right.
Bongo already gets weekly.
Your first pet's name.
Weekly withdrawal from me.
Yes.
First pet's name. Yep. Grandfather's occupation. Yeah. And then what you do is, once you've tweeted that, if we retweet you back, and then you go into a prize draw, you get one entry for every game you complete, and then we just pull a name out of a hat at the end of a quarter. The current competition ends at the end of August, so you've still got quite a bit of time to get some Victories Achieved in. And people who've done Victories Achieved this week are Mr. Miyagi 1984, who finished Lost Horizon. What's that game? I don't know. Is that a PC game?
It's probably a Gary game.
No, it's not actually.
I'm not familiar, but
yeah, Lost Horizon is it's supposed to be a really good game. I don't know too much about it. I've seen it on Steam a lot. I think it's been on sale a lot too. All
right. Okay.
The tyrant, formerly known as Murphy's Law, or according to this show note, Murphy's Piz Law.
Yeah, to change my gamer tag now to Tyrant, if I can find it. If it's open, I'm taking it.
He finished Inside. Some other dude called Mark Alex finished Inside. And another person we've never heard of, Amras89, he finished Inside.
Yeah. Oh, wait, maybe Lost Horizon is a Gary game. Hold on. Okay,
it's just bought
like
it.
$10. Let's see what we're doing here tonight.
Mr. Miyagi, commission has just earned himself 10 cents. Kyle Adams has finished South Park Stick of Truth. Colin for the win finished The Stanley Parable. That's another Amros game. Mr. Miyagi 1984 also finished The Crew. That took some hours because I'm 10 hours in. I've only got completed 4% of the game. Teflon 12 finished Strider. Hardly Dan finished Uncharted 4: A Thief's End. Great game.
With bastard, he beat it before me and he got it after me.
And Steffi Business finished the absolutely awesome Witcher 3.
Yes.
That should be like 6 points right there. Like, really. That game's long as shit.
Yeah.
I would agree, and I think Bongo should honor that, and that would just add to his totals of what... Yeah.
Did I beat that game this year? I think I did. I need to get ahead of Calibur more.
we have not updated the completion chart, by the way. So this is old standing, so we're not going to go into it yet. But there is something going on where Bongo is taking everybody's games that they've been completing. He's matching that for points for dollars, basically. And he is basically going to get stuck with a big old fat price tag at the end of this for Extra Life and have to pay up. So we say to that, complete more games, because that means he has to spend more money. And of course, the person that completes the most games is going to get a T-shirt, Overseas Connection T-shirt, a mug. And then Robin also said he's going to put them up at his house for a week, giving them back massages and free ice cream.
That's how he gets all the kids in his house. After last week's talk about pedophiles and
yeah, there's
I still can't believe it happened.
We don't. But
I want to say I am tied with Caliburn now. It wasn't updated, so I put I am tied now. So yeah, I'm blowing him out of the water. I am getting that goddamn shirt.
Listen to this.
Well, now you've
been thrown down, Caliburn M.
Now you.
Oh, I already.
Yeah, now you've had a break from Minecraft last week. So now Minecraft's pissed you off. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm still playing Minecraft. So I was gonna play Uncharted today and beat it, but I haven't even gotten to play anything today. Don't worry, I'll get it. I'm gonna beat him. I'm gonna kick his ass.
All right. Okay.
You can do it.
You
can do it.
Hold on, let me unscrew this mic and drop it right now.
All right, before we get all crazy here, we do want to make sure everybody knows that's listening to the podcast right now. We're going to be ending the show, but we're not ending the show. So we're going to do our closing shout-outs, we're going to wrap things up, and then we're going to kick off our inside spoiler part, little segment where we're going to talk about the game inside. We'll be talking about key moments in the game, things that will spoil the game. So if you haven't played Inside and you want to play Inside, you'll be warned. We'll have an audio cue, I think, or at least the end music will happen, and then we'll make sure you know it's happening now. And if you're watching on Twitch, we'll have a screen that will show up that will show you for sure we're talking about Inside. So that out of the way, if you want to be part of the conversation and join in while we live stream on Twitch every Saturday at 3 p.m. 3 p.m. West Coast Pacific time frame, 6 p.m. East Coast time frame, or if you're having problems sleeping, you could be watching us at 11 p.m. in the UK and jump into the chat, or as we affectionately call it, the chat, and you can be part of the fun. You can email the podcast just like Jason did earlier, podcast@g4te.com. You can always tweet us @OC_podcast. We have a Facebook page, fb.g4te.com. And, of course, we do take donations for our prize fund, but only for the prize fund. The show is free. We're not doing any kind of Patreon. We're not like that. This is a hobby for us. We want to give back to you who listen to us because, well, it's fun. So, that's out of the way. Let's talk about some shout outs. Let's let Gary lead the way. Gary, shout outs to you.
Yay. Oh, shout outs to me. Oh, I'm nice. Dan, for dealing with his pain and drugged upness to do a podcast. Well, hopefully weekly now. We'll see how, cause he said he was spaced out earlier. I just wanted, because he's playing Pokemon Go. So he's like, dude, he's like just throwing Pokeballs everywhere or something. we've been having fun talking about Pokemon because he has no idea what Pokemon are. So it's been good. Other than that, everyone for giving blessings, wishes, everything for Courtney, because on the 26th she gets to have a shunt put into her brain, and shout out to her.
Yes,
awesome. For well,
big shout out to Courtney.
Having fun. We're actually going to have a party the weekend before, so everyone's invited. So come over and get drunk at my house and celebrate Courtney stuff. Because we're celebrating her birthday then, too, I think, because her birthday is like a week after the surgery, and she's going to be pretty fucked up. So, woo!
Happy birthday, Courtney. Please tell her we said happy birthday.
I will. They said happy birthday. It's that easy. She stays in the room with me. Surprisingly, because I'm so annoying. All right. Pass it on to friendo. Kim. Yeah, no friendo. No friendo shirt.
It's
my shirt. It's supposed to be on every time I'm here.
Gary, it was in the wash. I apologize.
It's too hot. I understand.
Well, no, but like I went to the mall, so I made sure I wore it in the mall.
You got little kids coming up to you?
Totally.
No friendo, you're mean. That's why it's tyrant.
That's when I lean forward. I lean forward to them and I smile and I say, "Listen here," and then I flick them in the nose,
like a dog.
All right, Kim, go.
Oh, God. So I want to shout out you guys. And I finally got to do a podcast with Amorous, so that was interesting. So
oh, my God. Is this the first time?
It is the first time, I believe.
It's so, a first.
Yeah, see?
It's because nobody invites me on lag. Actually, I haven't had a podcast.
Yeah, we haven't had a podcast in a while. So.
Talk about having troubles, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I want to shout out to our shouters and our viewers, listeners, all that. And, you know, if it wasn't for you people, we wouldn't be doing this. Or we would, and we'd just be talking to ourselves. And
let's face the facts. It, regardless of whether they're there or not, we would be doing it. But it's so much more fun when they're there.
Exactly. So, thanks for that. I guess it's on to Mark.
I just want to shout Gary for joining us tonight, especially for the upcoming spoiler cast on Inside. And that's a big shout out to Courtney for her upcoming birthday, and hope the surgery goes as well as can possibly go, because I'm not going to be here for the next 2 weeks. I'm on vacation myself. So, yeah, over to you, Gary.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Of course, a big shout out to the three of you for making the show. As always, I really appreciate you guys taking the time to jump on. And Gary, of course, making the special time to jump on our podcast. Obviously, shout outs to Courtney. We will not be able to give enough love to that young lady. So we know she will come through everything flying colors fine. So enjoy the birthday celebration ahead of time, Courtney. And just know that we're here for you guys. And of course, a shout out to the community. Thank you all for listening. In the U.S., we had a very difficult week. There was some horrible, horrible events that transpired, not just in Dallas, but in Minnesota and also in Louisiana. And we just want anybody affected by that to know that, you know, their families are in our prayers and in our hearts. We have to be able to get past this, and I hope at some point we will. But in the meantime, we will try and just be better people. That's all we can do. And so with that said, we will end the show now. And we'll kick off the Inside spoiler cast in just a few. And Kim, this is also your cue. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
To miss the Inside spoiler cast, but still listen to the outtakes, cue your device onto 1 hour, 50 minutes and 20 seconds.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
All right. This is the official Inside spoiler segment of the podcast. So we're going to be talking about the game Inside. If you have played it and you want to listen to us give our thoughts on what happened, maybe in the chat you can chime in as well. But we're just going to kind of walk through a little bit, talk about the game, talk about things that are very spoiler-ish. So be forewarned that it will spoil the game, especially at the end of the game, if you haven't played it already. So I want to give you a few seconds to be able to leave if you are listening to this. Otherwise, you have been warned.
Spoiler.
Godzilla was awesome in it.
Godzilla was awesome in it, yes. All right, let's talk Inside. So this is the game from Playdead. It's the sequel, the successor to Limbo. This game took them, 6 years to make? Which I find a little hard to believe it took them 6 years, but I'm wondering if they were working on...
I wonder if they made this at the same time as Limbo, but we just didn't have the processing power to put it on the 360 and PS3, because there's a lot of really, really good lighting effects and underwater effects in this, which I don't think the 360 could have pulled off.
Yeah, no, I would agree. It's a possibility. Overall, I think we can all agree, Gary, you certainly let us know if you disagree with this, but that we loved this game. It was a really good game.
All I have to say is, what the fuck was that ending?
Yeah. Well, that is.
I have no idea what happened.
So we're going to get to that. Let's not get there yet. So real quickly, let's talk about a couple of other things about game mechanics.
Yeah.
And then we'll just because the ending really is the biggest point.
So we'll like every good story, we'll start at the beginning. Right, the beginning of the game. It's very limbo-ish because you start off, the game just starts and you don't know what's happening. You move the left thumbstick and then this little dude pops out of the bushes and then into the sort of like main scenery of the game. That is very much limbo-ish.
Yeah, that's like basically the beginning of limbo.
And it doesn't,
sitting up.
Yeah, there's no on-screen instructions, no tutorials, but
I sat there for a minute and went, wait, no, oh shit, now, I need to do something.
Yeah, the main difference is from Limbo is this is not like silhouette graphics. In Limbo, it's mainly all silhouette, so this is the simple graphics, but they do look really, really nice.
What would you say, like stylish?
Yeah.
Stylistic kind of thing?
It had some style to it. I think the other big difference between this and Limbo, Limbo was a silhouette 2D game, basically. You had lighting effects, and it was black and white, basically, with shades of gray. And it all happened on a single plane, that 2D plane.
But it looked a 3D game, didn't it?
Right.
Yeah. Well, what's that one game? It was like a zombie game, Dead... It was the same kind of thing.
Dying Light.
Dying Light.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shadow Complex, also similar.
Yeah, it was basically like that. Like you had 3D environments, but it was like you literally only could move on a 2D plane.
Right, right.
And
so this game does that. This game does that. I think it does it very effectively.
Was it Dead Light, not Dying Light? Dying Light with his... Was
Dead Light.
Dead Light.
Yes. People are probably screaming right now. It's not Dying Light! I thought their use of the background was really effective.
Yeah.
It was really good. Just from the very beginning, like after like a minute or so, like, you know, stuff starts to happen in the background, and then moving throughout the game, just the stuff that's going on. And you literally, if you watch the one point, I'm going to go a little bit, a couple chapters, and whenever you're in the city, and all the, what do you want to call them? Like, cause I thought it was kind of zombie-ish kind of thing, but it's not. It's, like brain controlled kind of thing.
Yeah.
That they're doing. So like you start off and you're going through the city and you can just like, you head up a building, you go through the building, you head out the other side and you just see, it just goes through the whole thing of, they're just, you know, these kind of brainwashed or whatever, mind control people are just walking, and they're all children too, whatever that's supposed to mean, because like there's all adults doing these experiments and then there's children, but like they're walking, and then you get to the kind of end of that area, you fall in, and then you have to, like, the witch was really cool. You had to time yourself with the walking of everyone else and try to sneak past because you're being watched like a hawk by like a video camera.
Right.
And just that whole thing of like, you know, you kind of watch in the background, you're watching this stuff happen. You're watching people ride on clipboards and you know, all the kind of stuff and stuff that comes at you from the background too.
Right.
Like at the beginning with the dogs and all that stuff. Right. And the guy, were they wearing masks? It kind of looked like Party Hard. With the guy with the mask on, they reminded me of him. But
it was interesting because I think the tone of Limbo and the tone of this game, one of the big changes, because I mean some of the puzzles were you could call them similar in that they were platformy type puzzles, but to me, Inside, what was really unique about Inside and what I liked about it was, you always had a sense of danger from that first moment when you realized kind of that the enemy was actually people and it was, you know, there was a group, you know, that was out to get you, for whatever reason.
Yeah. Cause the first time you come across them is when the game starts, there's a truck with a couple of guys with torches. And if they spot you, they come running after you, don't they?
And for the U.S. listeners, torches is a flashlight.
Sorry, yeah.
That's okay. But yeah, so you know, that sense of danger I thought was fantastic because once I realized that, you know, anybody in that background, you know, wherever they were at, potentially could be somebody coming at me. And the use of the animations I thought also really helped heighten this because he'll go into – in certain sections, it becomes a little stealthy, where you're trying to be
like creeps down,
starts to creep down. And as soon as you see him starting to creep down, you're instantly scanning the horizon, mm-hmm. looking for what in the background might be coming at you.
The other thing I really like about Limbo and this is like, you don't know, like you're going to die unless you play the game a couple times. You're going to die because there's always something that you don't know. Like there's at the very beginning, there's like the creeping part through the water, and then a dog comes after you.
Yeah. Right.
And if you're not full on running, that dog's going to catch you. And there's also a couple parts, like if you don't jump at the right time and get up there, like a dog can get you and stuff like that. And I love that, like, you know, you're always going to die, but you start so fast right after it, and then you're right back into it. You're ready to go. And then you may die like six other times, but once you get that, you're like, yes, may pass that little part. But I love that, you know, it's not like cut, you know, you don't know exactly what's going to come. Like,
right. But the puzzles,
you're going to die and have fun with it.
The puzzles were never overly difficult. I got stuck a couple times but it took me, you know, 5 or so minutes to figure it out. But you always, at least for me, I always felt like, no, I can figure this out.
Yeah.
How long were you stuck at the where you had to get like 20 of those people?
Yeah. There's a
sign. I was stuck on that. That one I actually got through relatively quick. There were a couple ones that I got stuck on that. One in particular was super obvious, but for whatever reason,
right,
I did not clue in on it. And it was basically that there was a crate section behind me that I needed to go back to and climb up on to get onto where I needed to be. And
all right.
It was things like that, though.
One that got me was that whole thing was okay until I got to the part with the minecart, and then like I just couldn't think of it, and then it clicked. I was like, oh well, that was stupid.
Yeah. But that was the brilliance of this game. I don't think any puzzle was ever like really difficult. Unlike Limbo. Limbo I felt had more difficult puzzles. But this game I felt like the puzzles had just enough difficulty at times to make you stop and think, but you got through it and you were able to enjoy the story. Or what you thought was the story. To that, I thought the puzzles were brilliant. I thought they really did a good job of creating these challenges that were never too challenging, but it got you thinking. And I also liked that this game, more so than Limbo, it felt like I, on a number of different times, had to use diversion tactics to get past a puzzle.
Yeah.
The one that got me was super difficult for me was with the stupid dog, where
it has to run down the ramp and then you jump up and run back around.
And there's three of them, you have to go over the fence and pull bits of wood off.
No, not that one. Right. As a matter of fact, I figured that one out, but timing the wood paneling pull off was difficult. There was another one I want to say just after that where you come out of the water. And a dog starts.
It jumps along. Into the water. Yeah,
the dog
comes
running after you. You swim down and make it. I think to a fence, but every time I got killed, and I was like, I don't get this. And then I was like, I must be missing something. And the dog starts coming back at me, and I go back in the water, and the dog comes into the water after me, and I was like, oh my god, this game is effing brilliant. And I'm like, I know I need now swim to the left, get the dog to follow me. And then I swam underneath the dog and came back out on the other side.
Yeah.
And
I think I got stuck on that about 4 deaths. I was like, why can I not make it? And I was like, let's try jumping back in the water, see what it does. And it actually falls. Like, oh, that's.
Yeah.
Right, so one of the game mechanics, what we haven't mentioned yet, is it's sort of like it's introduced about a third of the way through.
Like that.
It's mind control.
Right. Right. So.
Oh, yeah, God. That was so good.
So the first time you see it, it's like a yellow thing on a wire hanging from the sort of like the roof. And it makes it out that you have to jump on it. And you think you're going to climb up it, but it doesn't. It grabs hold of it.
Yeah.
And he sticks his head into it. And all of a sudden, these characters in the background, these brainwashed people stand up. I mean, whatever you do with a thumbstick, you're dangling from this thing. Doing the actions, and the guys are doing what you want them to do. And I thought that was genius.
the thing I love about that too, I had the same thing. I thought I was gonna, climb up it, but as soon as he puts his head on it, and then you see the guy stand up. And then whenever you're making him walk, he's hanging, he's just dangling from his head,
and his legs
are going, walking in midair. I fucking love that. Yeah. I thought that was so good. And then the ones where you have to make one of them go on the one as well.
That's one of the puzzles.
Third person.
Yeah, that's one of the puzzles. What got me was there was two of these head things, and you had to make one of the dudes you're controlling go into it. I mean, another guy popped out of a box which you couldn't see. To get the cart past the block. So that's the only puzzle I struggled with at first.
Did you drop yourself to your death on that one? Because I accidentally got out of it.
A couple times.
It was easy to do. There were a couple different times where I mistakenly, push down on the, because you could push down on the thumbstick to get out of it, or you could push, I want to say it was the B button, B on the D-pad, on the gamepad. Anyway, so the puzzles were brilliant. The animations, I do want to talk about the animations real quickly.
Yeah, they were superb,
They had an animation for every little thing.
Yeah.
He would turn the right way, walking and climbing over things. It was all done fantastic. And the death animations.
Yeah.
Gruesome.
Let's talk about
the best. The best one for me was in the underwater bit where the fans kept coming on and off. If you did time that right and you got mashed by that fan, bits of
your foot. That's like that Tomb Raider thing. It's like, I want to see how he dies if I do this.
And the other one was that room with that, where the sound waves would just blast you to pieces.
That was so cool. The two most gruesome for me, I didn't get the fan one, but the dog fucking snapping your neck.
The dogs.
Fucking biting at you. Oh, man. And then, getting blown apart.
The three dogs, actually, to me, was a little more rough because they'd seem like they were just tearing you apart as opposed to the one dog.
I didn't get killed by them. Damn.
Yeah. No.
I'm so sad I didn't die.
Yeah. No. Well, and that was the other great thing about the game was death. Death was not ever truly a penalty, because the checkpoints in this game are really good. I think there were a couple spots where the checkpoints were rough, but outside of that, they were nicely spaced.
Yeah.
And so you never felt like you were too far back. Let's dive into the narrative. So, you start off this game, and I think all of us probably from the very first part of the game thought we were escaping from somewhere.
Yeah.
But the reality of this game is you're breaking into something.
Yeah.
You're sneaking into this facility. And I think this is where we all are going to have our own thoughts about what this game is. Because at no point in time does this game ever tell us what this is. It never tells us what the story is or what the final outcome is. It's left to us to decide what this means or what it was.
Yeah, it's got the same thing like Limbo, too. You kind of make up what you think it is.
The only thing we know for sure is that it's some kind of factory. It looks like they're doing some kind of experiments. I think we could say that there's experimentation going on, that there is, beings, and I'm going to say this term beings right now, that are... you can control their minds. They look, for all intents and purposes, like they are potentially humans, but they're purposely kind of very basic, bland in their appearance. Like, they're not wearing clothes, if I remember correctly. They're just kind of like lumps of – I mean, I won't say lumps of flesh, but they're just kind of like a flesh being.
I think they're wearing clothes. I think the clothes are great, too. So,
the mind control ones were they're all grey, weren't they? But even the animations of them, each one was different.
Yeah, they had, tall, lanky ones, too. And, they're... Right. Especially where you had to get, 20 of them.
Yeah.
They had some of them had, hard hats on, and some of them had jumpers and stuff as well. Right. They had different ones. I'm not sure about, because I wasn't paying enough attention to the background, because I just saw them there, but I think they all had clothes.
They might have all had clothes. They might have just been like a gray jumpsuit. But I mean, clearly it was like drones, so to speak.
Yeah.
That was at least kind of how I took it a little bit. And so you're making your way into this facility. You encounter another unique creature, a mermaid-like creature at one point.
Yeah.
And then and we'll talk about the meaning of all this in a second. So, you know, I'm just kind of running through the story, if you will. And then you get to a point where you, in a sense, become part of this gigantic blob-like creature. And
that's where I'm just like, I don't know what happened
anymore.
Right,
the game completely turned itself on its head at this point.
Because you get to a point where you enter a room and this guy comes running past you. You think, oh, God, he's going to get me. But it doesn't. It just runs past you. And then as you walk on further, there's like a big glass dome thing. And there's loads of workmen, like engineers and that, stood just looking into this glass thing.
Right.
And they're looking at this blob thing out there. Because you have to just like work your way around and go into the water to get, and then you sort of like try unplug this blob. But when you get to the last one to unplug it, you get absorbed into it.
You become
part of it and you control it then.
Right. And then suddenly you're this gigantic blob and you're wreaking havoc on the entire lab facility. And you break out. And that's the end of the game.
How it moves though, is it? Because you've got all these arms and legs sticking out of it, and it's walking along and it's falling over itself, and it'd stand up and walk on its arms and legs. It's brilliant how they've done that.
Yeah.
If you look, it kind of reminds me of, if you ever watched Hayao Miyazaki film called Spirited Away, it's kind of like No Face when he gets all fat and he's running through, like running amok through the whole bathhouse and everything. Kind of remind me of that. Like he's falling over everywhere. He can't really, because him standing up is like on four arms. He's like, he's fucking hilarious. It looks so good. Like how the little animations of this, all these bodies mashed together, moving, working together to move forward was so good. And, you know, and he falls over, and then like more arms just kind of pick him back up, and he's like on different arms too. He's not even like, you know, getting back on this is what would be his legs, you know, because he's just a fucking bunch of legs.
Legs and arms. I mean, it was really unique. Sorry, and I guess we jumped through a little bit. We should take a step back. So as you're playing through the game, you're breaking your way into the facility. There is this mermaid-like creature that appears, and it's a water-based creature, and she kills you. In essence, every time you are going through the water puzzles, she is coming after you and trying to, and she kills you.
Yeah, eventually you get to a point where you can't escape it, can you? Because you try to get on this chain and you fall off. She drags you down. And you think, I'm dead.
She drags you down, and she drags you down to the bottom, and suddenly you're dead, or at least you think you're dead.
Did you notice, so as you were coming down, though, you had a yellow light on you, like you had one of them things plugged into you? Did you see that?
I
noticed it on the second play. I didn't notice it first time, but second playthrough, you've got a line into you, and a yellow glowing light in your midriff. And then that breaks off, and then you hit the bottom.
And then you come back to life.
And then you come back.
And then you can magically breathe underwater, too.
Yeah.
it looked like it was giving you like the mermaid's kiss kind of thing, too, on the way down. So I don't know what exactly it was doing. Just swims away or whatever after you get to the bottom, right?
Right. She, and you never see her again. That's the last time you deal with the mermaid.
She was freaky as fuck.
Yeah, she definitely freaked you out. She had kind of that, what's that
the
movie?
The ring.
Yeah, ring-like appearance.
Yeah, because of the black flowing hair in the water. Yeah.
But, like, I like the part where you have to get away, and I kept getting killed because you had to keep the light on her. And then you use the thing, you go away, and then you keep the light, you know, on her. And then I finally realized after like five times of doing it, that you had to hit the door and close it so you could actually go up through the roof.
Yep.
And that dome, what do they call it? Like little submarine kind of thing.
Yeah.
That thing was really fun to go around.
I
love
the submarine. Yeah.
Right.
And if you held the air button, it did like a boost
right.
move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was You saw the city or facility or whatever. Like this is kind of like it's kind of post-apocalyptic kind of thing, because like you go down in this facility or the building or whatever, and you're going way down, and then there are like skyscrapers going up. Like this game had a lot of height to it and depth. Mm-hmm. Like it was crazy.
Yeah, so I guess maybe at this point, what did you think this game was? What you know, the story? Let's talk about this, because I think we all have our own thoughts. I have come to my own conclusion on what I think this game was,
right,
and what it represented. But I'm curious to know what each of you think. Mark?
I think my view on it is the meaning of the game is telling people that there's a lot of mind control out there by media and stuff, and you should break away from that and just be yourself. But part of that is contradicted by you getting mixed in with a blob, so I don't know.
Right? Like, the blob just goes... Yeah. I don't know what to think after the
blob. Now, and then I thought, well, is the blob calling the boy? Or is the boy part of the blob? I don't know.
Right.
What do you think?
So when I first was playing this game, obviously, my first thoughts were I was running away from something.
Yeah, you thought you were escaping.
The realization I was actually making my way into the facility, that really changed the tone of it. And then, so you're this boy, you're making your way into the facility. You suddenly are realizing this facility is filled with these, kind of dummy like servants, and they appear to be being manufactured, or kind of created.
I want to say they're kidnapped people because of, you know, those guys that chase you down and shoot you with tranks and everything and, like, pick you up.
Yeah,
I think they're just, like, kidnapping people and turning them into these just mindless
things. Yeah, before you get into the facility, there's a line of them outside, isn't there? You run along the rooftops, and if you look down, there's a line of them all walking into the facility.
Right. So this is my whole thought about this story, I guess, is really it was made up after... Once I took everything back in and I looked back on it, the way I took this entire story to be is that the boy and I was immediately drawn to the movie I, Robot. For some reason, this clicked with me. And so my thought is the boy, as well as these more kind of mundane creatures, are basically nothing more than android, servant-like creatures that have been created by this facility. And they're there to do the work and just be worker bees, so to speak. But this boy, robot or android, whatever you want to call it, is more self-aware than the others. And he is working his way into the facility to try and, so to speak, free them. And I think he is being called by the collective mass. And so as he's coming in, what I also thought was interesting was the mermaid... It was almost like, she was killing you in those first sequences and the deaths were there just as part of the challenge of completing the puzzles. But ultimately, the reason why she was trying to drag you into the water was to make you even more self-aware that you were, in fact, an android, that you could swim underwater, that you could do these things. So she drug you down. And they got
drowned
to that story. Yeah, she purposely drowned you, pulled you down, and then suddenly you knew, I can swim underwater.
Yeah, so you could actually have to breathe.
Yeah, I didn't need to breathe, yeah.
And then you get to, the mass, and you're trying to unleash the masses, and so you become part of the collective, and you're wreaking havoc, and you definitely see him make that right before that final jump out to freedom, so to speak, is you going through, you don't want to say it's like the foreman's office. And apparently, I just ran right over the dude and killed him. But apparently, if you stop, he gets out of the way, and he hides behind a planter.
Right.
And you just can crash through the window.
I think I actually did that. I think I did let him live.
Yeah. So the entire time you become part of that blob collective, what you start to see is all those workers that are watching you. Some people, it looks like they're helping you, but part of my thing is because you wreak havoc at first, you're crashing, everybody's freaking out, they're running away from you, you're crashing through walls, you're destroying everything in your path.
And now, suddenly, I wonder if you play it again and you actually go through really slow, if everybody would literally get out of the way.
Right.
In the end. And, like, you actually can go through and not kill anybody.
Mm. My second playthrough, I didn't do the blob bit. Once I got the last achievement, I stopped just before you become the blob. I might have to just... Because I don't know if you guys know this. If you go into the... If you're playing the game and you go into the load section, there's all the checkpoints there. You can go back to any point in the game what you've already played previously. So you can replay it. There's, like, loads of little dots at the bottom of the screen. So you can replay that quite easily if you want.
Right, to get, well, because there are secret, this game, in terms of trophy support or achievement support, it only doles them out when you find these hidden power balls that you have to unplug.
Yeah, this is another thing as well. Getting all the secrets unlocks a final secret, and that's something else which is in the mix, which you don't know about yet, Greg. So Yeah, because this is a spoiler. In the spoiler. Do you want me to tell you guys?
Yeah, I think we should talk.
Go ahead.
Right, you know these collectibles you get with like a glowing ball with yellow wires to, and you pull it, right. Well, when you collect all of them, it leads you to a UFO, a spaceship, and you go into that, and you pull that again, and then you get the final achievement, the last one. But yeah, it looks like a spacecraft to me.
Right, but so the way that ends is he climbs up into this sphere. Yeah. And he sits down onto a crate, and as far as I understand it, you have a choice. You have a choice to unplug yourself, and when you unplug yourself, you throw the switch, and basically it ends.
Right. I saw was when I went into the craft, I couldn't see inside. Right. My character was completely obscured, so I just sort of like pressed B and moved around a bit until it all went dark and made the noises, and he came out again. So I got the last achievement that way. I never saw inside the craft. That's
I guess the very end sequence is him. You have the choice to kind of throw the switch, and throwing the switch is basically him unplugging, and it basically shuts everything down.
Right.
And my take on that, because this is all about freedom of getting the masses out, getting, you know, You the blob gets out to, you know, the first ending is the blob like creature crashes through this window and gets out to the ocean seaside, basically basking in the sunlight.
Yeah.
You found freedom, so to speak. You're free. But the other ending, the further ending is shows the boy basically going in and you've unplugged all of these different orbs, which allows you to get up into this other control room, and you're able to then kind of throw the last switch, so to speak. And to me, that is representing the ultimate freedom. The only way they're truly going to be set free is if they kill the machine.
Yeah.
And they turn everything off, and then they're free. But freedom is, in a sense, at a sacrifice of his life. So the only way he would ever truly be able to be free would be by disconnecting completely and shutting down what is powering him, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I know that was my take on it. God knows that may not be right. It may completely be different. Maybe these are all Walking Dead zombies for all we know. I don't know. So I don't know if either of you have different thoughts or think differently. I certainly don't think my interpretation is the only one or the final say. I know a lot of different thoughts.
I think I'm going to have to go back now and do the last sort of like section now. Now I've got the last achievement, the last collectible, so I might get a different ending.
So yes.
I didn't know if there was a different ending.
Right now I'm actually watching a secret, it's a secret ending. I think they're showing all this stuff.
Right.
The different ones.
Like you say, I thought it would initially about, like you say, you're trying to escape, but then you're not. You're breaking in, and it's about non-conformity to the slave of the world, sort of like the grind, the daily grind. So that's how I saw it.
Well, and I think that's part of the brilliance of this game too. It has this ending that is so, bizarre. Certainly. I can honestly say, I'm confident all three of us, when you, the boy, reach that blob,
Yeah.
And you disconnect and you're hitting that last one and you get sucked in and you become the blob.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure all of us uttered what the fuck.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And when I did my VG achieved, I put hashtag what the fuck.
Yeah. I just was like,
in fact,
what? Yeah.
I had a what the fuck moment before that. There's a couple of sections where there's some water, but it's above you.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
You climb up, and then you go into the water, and then when you come out of the water, you fall out of the water back onto the ground with gravity, and you get a trail of water coming down on top of you, and I thought, what? How the... And right. One of them, you have to alter the level of the water.
Right.
Which is quite clever. But yeah, I'm thinking, how have I got water up there? That blew my mind a bit.
You know, it goes back to that notion of this facility is all about experimenting and doing different things. Yeah. But yeah, I was so thoroughly pleased with this game, even with the unique and obscure ending, because it's one of those games where we were instantly wanting to talk about it. Yeah. You instantly had that who's played this game and finished it, because I need to talk about it.
Yeah.
I want to have that conversation.
Well, I text Mark after I finished it. And I was just like, because it was the blob. Like, I was just like, what the fuck was that? Just turned everything upside down. I was like, I don't understand anymore.
Yeah, and that really is. It's that moment. It's like I don't understand. I mean, that was really you break your way into the facility, and you get to that moment, and it's like everything gets turned on its head, and you're like, what just happened?
Mm.
What and then you're going through and you're just wrecking everything, and probably one of the greatest puzzles in the game happens where, you know, there's a couple workers, you're in blob form, and you learn at one point that you can take this crate and set it on fire.
Oh yeah.
And a worker then is you're like throwing this crate up to him, and I'm trying to remember how exactly this is working. And he like it pushes it back down to you on fire, I think. But needless to say, the worker at first it's like he's trying to help you, but I go back to that notion of all of the workers that quote unquote aided you or got out of the way were just wanting to.
It was
like get out of here.
Self-preservation, wasn't it? Every man for themselves. Yeah.
Exactly. And so, you take this on fire box and you're walking back through this water area, and there's these sprinklers now that are coming down. You have to throw the box up over the sprinkler, keeping it lit, and catch it on the other side.
Because there's water on the floor. There's like a foot of water up to your feet. So yeah, if you drop it, it goes out and you have to go all the way back in.
And the animations of the arms catching that box and balancing it, and you know, they're constantly
many
kind of,
arms.
Oh, many, many arms. Yes. It just was a great, just fantastic moment. But yeah, so inside, even though the game ending
gets inside your head.
Yeah. It gets inside my head and it's obscure. This game, I definitely think is, it's a contender for me for game of the year.
Yeah.
It's 100% in my top five.
It's a beautiful, thought-provoking game, and everybody should play it.
Yeah.
See, it's not the length of the game that matters.
Yeah. I would agree.
It's inside that counts.
Yeah. Quality, not quantity.
Yeah.
That's why I play so many short games, because they're all good. So full point for Inside.
Yes. No. So Inside, fantastic game. I think you know, if you are listening to this and you've come this far and you have your own thoughts on what Inside meant to you, or what you thought the story was, feel free to share that with us. We'd love to hear other thoughts. And you can always shoot that off to podcast@g4te.com. That's our email. And we will definitely look to read your impressions. With that said, Mark, Gary, thank you guys both for spoiling Inside, because it was fun to talk about, and I've been waiting patiently waiting for this podcast to talk about it. Any last thoughts?
If you haven't played it, play it. That's my thought. It's amazing.
The Blobble, mind fuck you.
Yeah.
It's just so weird, but it's the coolest looking thing in a video game. Oh, it just falls there. It's like a big fat guy,
and all the arms are like sticking out. And
oh yeah,
oh it's so good.
And it'll topple over and fall over itself, and it'll stand up on all its arms and legs. And
I know that's the best part. It just falls over and then it just. Oh, it's so cool.
Well, I think the other interesting thing about it, if you think about the Blob character for one last thought, is I don't recall seeing any eyes or heads or mouths.
No, it's literally just
limbs that come out from it. So, yeah. All right. Well, that is it. Thank you again, and thank you for listening. And we will now officially wrap up our podcast tonight. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Stay tuned for some fun outtakes and bloopers. See you same time next week.
All right, I hear Mark breathing.
Right. Woo-hoo. Can you hear me now?
Easy on the breathing into the microphone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hiya.
Jeez, I just got back to the computer, just got a shower, just got all cleaned up and not naked now. And
thank God for that.
Well, Kim's got swollen lips.
I do, just a little bit. Hello, Poison Ivy. Yeah. You know.
My email.
Okay. You look like you've had Botox, Kim. You look very nice.
Yeah, right?
People pay thousands for that effect.
Hey, now.
All I had to do was get Poison Ivy, you know. Yeah.
People pay thousands of dollars for lip collagen and implants.
Yeah.
Tabs. Everybody needs a tab.
I'm trying to remember what I played last week. My brain was failing epically.
I see you still got your bit of fluff on your chin.
Yeah. I'm going to try to keep it as long as possible.
Bam.
Yay.
You guys want to do this thing? What do you say?
Suppose we better do it.
Yeah. I mean, I showed up with my itchy lips and all that, so why not?
My itchy lips, man. That's one for you.
You can do what I can.
You can get a cream for that, can't you?
Make Nicole happier if she just deletes all your stuff on the Minecraft server.
And then blames the server.
Right. I know what you did to my castle, Nicole.
That's going in the outtakes.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts. Similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many people say.
Come on. Yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.